الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والذين يقولون ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما والذين إذا أنفقوا لم يسرفوا ولم يقدروا وكان بين ذلك قواما صدق الله العلي العظيم.
We were discussing the qualities of Ibadur Rahman, the special servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and why Allah ta'ala sent us in this world to bring these sifat and qualities within ourselves. So when a banda and servant realizes who Rahman is, how merciful Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, how kind Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is, and what qualities he has got, automatically a person, he falls in love with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has to become a servant and a banda of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I have to sacrifice my life for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and I have to bring these qualities into my life. So the first quality was of tawadu, humility. After seeing Allah's mercies, Allah's greatness, kindness upon us, automatically a person will humble himself, he will come down. And then when a person sees how Allah ta'ala forgives him, and Allah overlooks his sins, and Allah covers up his sins, so when other people do acts of jahalat and ignorance to him, then he also overlooks them, he forgives those people. And then when a person, he sees the mercies of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day and the night, فَلَا أَكُونُ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Can he stand up in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at night? Some portion of the night he will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and beg from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person, he at night he stands up in tahajjud salah, as we had tried to mention yesterday, a few rakats, even four rakats after the isha salah, try to wake up in the early portion of the morning. Sometime extra, yeah, reading our faraz, mashallah, very very mubarak and blessed. But more, a bit more than this, a person spends some time in the nafal salah. On the day of Qiyamah, there will be one group of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, we are those people who separated their sides from their beds. And then all those people who have performed tahajjud salah, they will wake up. And the hadith says they will be very few in number. And they will be allowed to enter into Jannah without any hisab, without any reckoning. So if our name is not on top of that list, that we woke up 3 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, but at least let our name not be, not at all included in the list. Even if it's in the bottom of the list, inshallah, that we read the tahajjud in the early portion of the night, this inshallah will be also amongst those people who will stand up and will go into Jannah. And we can easily understand it if you look in the whole world today, how many people are performing 5 times salah. There are a very small percentage, unfortunately, of Muslims who are performing all 5 times salah. So how many are then performing tahajjud salah? So may Allah make us amongst those few people. With the hadith that he says, there will be few of them, and they will stand up and they will enter into Jannah without any reckoning. So just by adding these 4 rakats of salah, a first rakat of salah, a person after the isha salah. And then the next quality which we had discussed yesterday was about dua, that the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the servants of Rahman, they engage in dua. It can have two meanings. One is that they engage in dua, they turn their attention always towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here regarding dua also, our Kabir mentioned some very very beautiful points. Abraar al-Haqsab rahmatullahi mentioned one point. He says that after a person makes tilawat of Quran, normally we know duas are accepted at the end of khatam of Quran. You know that when you read, a person makes the whole khatam of Quran. But he says not only that time, even when a person reads a small portion of the Quran, duas are also readily accepted. So now we read about tilawat of Quran Sharif, one para, half a para, whatever tilawat of Quran a person is doing, he's doing a good action. And after good actions, duas are readily accepted because you have made some mujahada, some sacrifice. Example, you are performing salah now. After Farz Salah, du'as are readily accepted. A person is fasting, is Farz Roza, du'as are readily accepted at iftari time. A person goes for Hajj Umrah, du'as are readily accepted there. A person makes tilawat of Quran Sharif, du'as are readily accepted. A person makes zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, du'as are readily accepted. So a person must take these opportunities. So when we are making tilawat of Quran Sharif also, we come to the end of our tilawat, make du'a at that time also, du'as are readily accepted. So this du'a is a very, very great, powerful tool which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given every single one of us. Hazrat Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani rahmatullah has mentioned something very amazing. He says that we should try to make dua at all times. See, for example, the food is in front of us now. So now make dua, because he says dua is building up a person's connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So say, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this food is in front of me. This food is the only thing, this food cannot do itself. You are the one who will satiate. Ya Allah, you put the ability of satiating in the food. So he says you are about to eat that food now, but you are building your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in everything, a person is going to the shops. Ya Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm going to the shops. Let me not make a mistake in my deal, in my buying with somebody. Let me buy the correct thing. There is one dua of istikhara. Istikhara actually means when a person is asking Allah ta'ala for goodness. Normally people only come to the Mawlana and say, Mawlana, I'm getting married. Tell me the dua of istikhara. Whereas Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu anhu said, that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to teach us istikhara, just like how he used to teach us surahs of the Quran. How he taught us surahs of the Quran. So much he used to teach us istikhara. That means istikhara was a normal part of their life. Anything they want to do, istikhara. Istikhara means talabul khair. You are asking Allah Ta'ala for goodness. Ya Allah Mashwari Rahmat Usmani Rahmatullah. This is many people make a mistake. They think istikhara is making mashwara with Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. No, you are asking Allah Ta'ala for goodness. That, oh Allah, what I'm going to do now, I'm asking you for goodness in that. So whether you see a dream or you don't see a dream, but you have done your servitude, you have asked Allah Ta'ala that Allah put goodness and khair in whatever I'm doing. So whenever a person is doing any business deal, for example, make istikhara, a person is buying a house, a person is buying a car, those are for big things. You can read two rakats namaz and you can read the dua. But even small things, a person just knows the dua before doing that action, make the dua of istikhara. And the dua is a bit long, 5, 6, 7 lines, there is a short dua of istikhara. Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli. Now I'm going to the shops. My wife says, buy potatoes. Now which pair must I buy? That potatoes or that potatoes? Allahumma khirli wa akhtarli. Allah, let me choose the right one. So when I go home, I don't get shouting. So yeah, you put your connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Something simple. But your connection and ta'aluk all the time is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. It's easy to talk, but at all times, you are walking in the street, you see a person, make dua for that person. A person is without Islam, without Iman. Allah give that person hidayah. Allah Ta'ala give goodness to that person. When a person is walking, our Buzruf say that whenever the desire comes of guna and sin, and a person controls himself, and this especially comes when a person is walking in the streets and a beautiful woman is coming past now, and now a person desires, I must look at this woman. And every person gets this desire within himself. But now for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he lowered his gaze. He says, no, I cannot disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there are many, many rewards mentioned in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and which our Buzruf have mentioned, a person will get. When a person lowers his gaze, he will get the halawat of Iman, the sweet taste of Iman. Then he will get enjoyment in all of his ibadat, etc. This is one great benefit. But one other benefit they have mentioned, that they say that is a tajruba and the experience, that at that moment, whatever dua a person makes, when the taqaza and desire comes of guna in a person and he wants to do that sin, for example, a person now, he wants to look at that woman. The desire is within him, but he controls his gaze. They say the tajruba and experience is, whatever dua a person makes at that time, the dua is readily accepted. So at that time, makes what dua a person can make? Ya Allah, I've got such a taqaza, Ya Allah, give me something far better than this woman. Yeah, I'm looking at this woman, I won't get nothing at all. But Ya Allah, let me be able to see you in akhirat. Ya Allah, give me a khur of jannat. And according to some narrations also, it comes that if a person lowers his gaze, then he will get one khur in jannat for that day also. Like how we mentioned about anger also, when a person controls himself, for that each time, every one of them, Allah will give him one four of jannah which he will be able to choose. Similarly, in one narration it comes, the person who controls his gaze, and for every gaze he lowers, he controls, he will get one four in jannah for the day. So what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving to a person. So at that time also, whatever dua you want to make, and make dua of hidayat, Ya Allah, I want your love, Ya Allah, I want your muhabbat, I want your connection, and dua are readily accepted at that time. So think to yourself, I'm going to look at that woman, what benefit I'm going to get. I'm just looking at her, and my desires will increase, I'll get more parishan, more worries. One person wrote to Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thani Rahmatullah Ali, something to the effect, he says that I get the desire to look at a woman, and very severe, and if I don't look at her, I feel so bad about it. So then Hazrat asked him questions, I can't remember exactly, but he says that if you look at the woman, what happens? He says, I'm parishan 3 days, I'm worried, and I'm thinking if only could get this woman. And he says, if you don't look at her, he said, it lasts for a few moments, I feel very bad about it. So he said, you make the decision yourself. Why must you make yourself suffer for 72 hours, 3 days? Rather make a bit of sacrifice for a few seconds, and then you will come out of that. So think to yourself, what a stupid and foolish person I am looking at that woman, what benefit I am going to get? But if I lower my gaze, I will get halawat of Iman, I will get the khur of Jannat, and I will get whatever du'as I am making at that moment will be readily accepted. So we should take these opportunities to make du'a. Another point, Hazim Akhtar Sahib Rahmatullah Ali has mentioned it, that when a person asks you to make dua for them, then he says, make dua straight away. Normally what happens, you say, inshallah, I'll make dua for you. We never ever make dua for that person. So make dua straight away. And Hazim says, there are two hadith here. He says, one is that when you make dua for a person, idkhalu sururi fi qalbi al-mu'min. One hadith it comes, one of the most virtuous ibadat is to enter happiness in the heart of a Muslim brother. So one way of making dua is you make dua for the person. You ask for dua, immediately you lift up your hands and you make dua for him without lifting up your hands. رَبَّنَا أَتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ. Such a jami and comprehensive dua. Oh Allah, give us the goodness in this dunya, in akhirat, save us from the fire of Jahannam. So you make dua for him. And then Hazrat says, when he turns around and he walks away, and make dua again for him. Because it comes in the hadith that the dua which is the most thickest accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, da'watu ghaibin li ghaibin, the dua of a person in his absence. So you want the dua very readily accepted. So now he's walked away, so you make dua again for him. So you are getting the dua of when he's in front of you, you are making him happy also. And when he's gone away from you, you are making dua for him, the dua is readily accepted. SubhanAllah, so a person is, and now connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is building up. We saw many times by Hazrat Munawwar Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, people used to come and used to make, immediately he lift up his hands and start making dua. One way he'll make dua, beautiful duas, short duas, but beautiful duas he'll make. And then he'll say, Ya Allah, this make us Allah wala, make our friends, our family, all our connection to us and the whole ummah. Very beautiful duas he used to make. So we should take these opportunities to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the quality of Ibadur Rahman. And another point of here, رَبَّنَا صِرِفْ عَنَّا عَذَابَ جَهَنَّمْ, ulama write that they do not get ujab in them. They do not get pride and arrogance after doing actions of ibadat. That is, they always fear the fire of Jahannam. And until we don't leave this world, we cannot be happy and content whatever we are doing. Until a person leaves this world. Hazrat Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah has given a beautiful example, which we had many times from our mashayikh. One there was a person, it was drought in Baghdad. So he thought to himself that, you know what, the Khalifa is living so far away, and here we got our small pond, and I can take a nice hadiah and a gift for the Khalifa of the time. So he took one, what do you call it, casket or whatever, matka, and he filled it up with water. So he said, this is very, very lovely water, and let me take it to the Khalifa. And it was a long journey to reach the Khalifa, but anyhow he traveled for quite a while. And eventually he came to Baghdad, and he came to the Khalifa's palace. So when he comes there now, I brought this gift. Now imagine after 3 months or 2 months, and in that matka, the extreme heat also, what will happen to that water? It will be smelling, what is odor it will be giving off, there won't be any sweetness in that. And anyhow he comes, but now he comes with his matka, and how much of sacrifice to carry that thing, how heavy it must be. Then anyhow he brings it to the Khalifa, and when he brought it to the Khalifa, he came there, it was the court of the Khalifa that morning. So the Khalifa was having his meeting, so he stood right in the back, out of fear also, out of respect. The Khalifa had his whole discussion, this person was standing right in the back. And at the end of the day, the Khalifa sees him. He says, well, what are you doing? Come here, you doing? Come here, come forward. He says, I'm frightened. But actually, I brought on hadiah. I had a drought here in Baghdad. And people are going through difficulties. So I said, I'm sure you need some water. So I brought a hadiah for you. The king was so happy. He said, what a jazakallah. I appreciate this gift you have brought for me. He told the people, take this thing, pour the water somewhere, and fill up this whole thing with gold. Or fill it up with some emeralds and some jewels, whatever, and you might be able to return it back to him. And because he made such sacrifice, take him to the royal rooms and let him sleep there for the night, bath him, give him a nice shower, give him the best royal clothing to wear also, and bring him to me tomorrow. So 2-3 days the man stayed there, he got the best of food, and he was surprised, like the king, so much of appreciation for the water he brought. And then the king told him, okay, now you are going back now, you rather go back by the river. So we got the Tigris and the Euphrates river there, and they are what beautiful rivers, and what lovely fresh water coming is flowing in there. So he said, he told his people, let him pass my rivers when he's going on his way back home. So now when that man is walking past the rivers, and he's looking at the rivers, and he sees such lovely water, such pure water, and he's thinking of the water which he had given, which was rotten, which was smelling, and the king was so kind to him, what and what the king gave him. So Mawlana Rumi rahmatullah, I have to mention in the story, mentions that this is our ibadat. We think we are very, very pious, and we are presenting to Allah Ta'ala, I've done this, I've done that. You see, but we are giving that filthy, smelly water to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what Allah is giving us back, Allah is saying, I'm giving you sawab, I'm giving you jannat. You read the subhanallah like that, you're getting one tree in jannat. You're reading 12 rakats of sunnat namaz every day, one palace in jannat for you. Small, small things that Allah is giving so much. It's not because of our ibadat, it's because of the mas, the fadl and the karam and the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So a person can never ever have pride over his actions of ibadat. My ibadat, I did this here, I'm this. We must look at, this is what we are presenting to Allah ta'ala. We actually be adab, disrespectful. Now when a person saw that water, he realized, Ya Allah, these people, this what water you got here, and you accepted mine and you still gave me a present in front. I suppose you actually get punishment for that day. But obviously on the other side, a person mustn't lose hope. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayhi said that you may see a person says, my ibadat is like nothing at all. Then a person gets mayus and a person loses hope. Hazrat Ali rahmatullah alayhi says, normally when a person has good actions, one malfuz, he said, two things are created. Either takabur is created, pride, or either tawazu and mufrit, extreme tawazu. You see, both is incorrect. The person must follow the middle path. So he told that person that if takabur comes in a person and pride comes in you, you are feeling arrogance, then think of two people. Think of shaitan and think of Bal'am bin Ba'ura. How shaitan, after thousands of years of ibadat, he was destroyed. Balaam bin Baura was a very great alim of the Bani Israel. He knew the special name of Allah Ta'ala, but eventually he also became, he lost his iman at the time of death. He said, think about him, so you will get saved from pride. You see, on the other hand, don't go to the extreme also of tawadu and mufrid. So much of tawadu, you say, my ibadat is nothing, my salah is nothing, why must I perform salah now? And now a person loses hope also. No, continue doing the actions. So Dr. Abdullah Harifi Rahmatullah Ali used to mention one amal, which Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu mentioned. He said, after any action, a person does two actions, which we learned from our Hazrat also, there's two actions. One is shukr and one is istighfar. He quotes Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He said, then you will break the back of shaitan. Break the back of shaitan. You will break the back of shaitan by making istighfar and by making shukr. When a person makes istighfar, inshallah, he'll be saved from pride. And by shukr, inshallah, he won't become despondent and lose hope. So a person will be saved from mayusi. A person loses hope. So continue doing the action. Make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make istighfar, and continue doing the action. So even though whatever weak action you have got, but inshallah there is great hope in the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will forgive a person, and Allah will accept a person, Allah will increase it. Many people used to go to Hajim Dadullah, Muhajim Makki rahmatullah, and say, I said, our amal is hopeless, useless. And I read namaz so many years, I've got no concentration. As I said, no, on the day of Qiyamah, you'll be shocked that even the simple namaz of yours, which even though it had no concentration, but what value it will hold in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It doesn't mean you must keep on that level. Try higher. But don't become mayus and don't lose hope. You say, at least Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you the tawfiq that your body, even though if your heart is not there, but at least your body is in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyhow, the pious servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after doing the action, they don't lose hope also on one side, but they don't become arrogant and pride. And I did something. But they follow the example of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. After doing such a great khidmat, he built the Kaaba Sharif. But he says, Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. That, oh Allah Ta'ala, this action of ours is not worthy of acceptance. Taqabbal, which the ulama know is babi tafa'ul, which got the khasiyat of takalluf. That, oh Allah, it's not worthy of acceptance. But Allah Ta'ala, through your mercy and your kindness, ya Allah, you accept it from us. Innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. Tub alayna, ya Allah, please forgive us. For wrongs we have done, how much of wrongs we have done in this ibadat of ours also. So if a person does this, inshallah, you will be safe from ujab and pride. A person must keep humbling himself before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah doesn't like this honor and this greatness within a person, but Allah loves humility. So this is the fourth quality of the servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The fourth quality of them is, إِذَا أَنْفَقُوا لَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا وَكَانَ بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ قَوَامًا. They are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah has given them the wealth. They understand Rahman has given me. When I came in this world, I came with nothing at all. And when I leave this world, also I leave with nothing at all. Out of shyness, kindness, people at least put a kafan on us, two or three pieces of kafan on a person, they put him in the qabr. Otherwise, even we are not worthy of that. That is taken out from the estate, the first thing taken out is the kafan. So actually we come in this world with nothing, and we leave this world with nothing. There is a famous story which we heard from our Kabir many times, that there were four people who owned the world. Amongst one of them was Zulqarnain, and he owned Allah Ta'ala had given him two non-Muslims and two Muslim people who Allah had given control of the whole world. And when he passed away, then he told the people that when I pass away, that you must take out my hands out of the kafan, to show the people that the person who owned the whole world, but when he's leaving this world, he's leaving with nothing at all. So a person now realizes that Rahman has given me such favors. So Allah Ta'ala says, what Allah has given you, فِيمَا آتَاكَ اللَّهِ, what Allah has granted to you, you also spend on other people. You give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ibad al-Rahman, the awliya Allah, they are the ones who are spending the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should bring this quality within ourselves of spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Spending on our family also with the correct intention. This is sadaqah. A person gets rewarded for this year. And what does actually sadaqah mean? Sadaqah comes from the word sidq, fruitful. When a person is spending, he's actually saying, I'm fruitful in my iman. Because normally a person has love of wealth. Every one of us has got love of wealth. When Ibrahim Dawalatab, Ramal Barakatu mentioned, he said there are different levels. That one is, a person has got love of wealth. But if a person doesn't control it, then eventually it leads to the next level, which is called Israf. Where a person now starts wasting money. And halal things also, but he wastes money. And then he says you go to the higher level, which is called Tabzir. Tabzir is when a person now, he starts wasting money. In haram, he starts using the money in haram avenues. And then he says, then you come to a fourth level, which is called mutaraf, where a person is living a life of luxury. And he says, normally it is these people who live a life of luxury. The whole object of life has become dunya, money, money, money. Everything is just living it up. Then these people who became the greatest enemies of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah Ta'ala. Because they felt that the Anbiya alayhi salam are taking us away from our dunya, our wealth. And eventually this destroyed them. So money is, the love of money every person has got. But one very, very easy way to remove the love of money, which is actually a poison, a sickness in a person, is to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One person comes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and he says, "Oh Nabi of Allah, I dislike going towards the akhirat. I dislike death, I'm frightened of death." So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Spend. Start spending your money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." Wherever a person's heart, wherever a person's money is, automatically his heart is inclined there. For example, you are living in South Africa, and we know days like the times are not very, very good. So now you start investing overseas to another country, Australia, for example. You start sending all your money there. You've got a house, 2-3 houses there. Every month you're sending money there. Now after 2 years or 3 years or 5 years, these problems, they tell you must leave the country. So are you happy to leave or you are set to leave? You are happy. You've got all your investments. Everything is there. But if you've got nothing there, everything is here. You've left everything here. How frightened a person is. So this love of dunya, may Allah protect and save us. The consequences are very, very harmful. One of my ustad, Ismail Katrana, one day he mentioned to us, he said, this is our own experience. He was there at the time of one person was about to leave this world. And he sees this person was in front of us, and the ruh is not coming out. The doctor is there also. And he's suffering, but the ruh is not coming out. Quite a while it passed. So the doctor was there, and the doctor is telling Maulana, what's happening here? I can't understand. This man, the soul is not coming out. So then his wife was nearby, she was coming in Parda, whatever. So she said, "You know what, I think I know what was the problem." So she went into the room and she brought one gold coin. This man had a lot of love for gold coins. He used to collect it. So she brought the gold coin. When he brought the gold coin, he put it by his chest, his heart, and then his soul came out of his body. So may Allah protect and save us. The love of dunya, what it can do to a person at the time of death also, it must not happen. A person at that time also is thinking about dunya, the things of this world. So one easy way of removing this love of dunya is to spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The least amount to spend in the path of Allah is our zakat. Zakat means purification. Zakat comes from the word purification. It purifies a person's wealth, it purifies a person's heart from the love of dunya. And this is the least level of stinginess. You can't be more stingy than that. 2.5%. And this is actually good for you. That you are purifying your wealth. Every person, it comes in the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, everything is called a zakat. The zakat of your body is fasting. So fasting, one benefit of fasting is, it purifies the body. All the toxins, etc., it takes it out of the body. Your wealth also becomes napak, filthy and dirty. Your body also, when your person goes to the toilet, now he's taking out all that excreta and filth. Nobody says, you know what, one part of my body is coming out, I'm feeling bad about it, let me keep it, protect it somewhere, because I'm feeling bad about it. He's happy actually it's coming out. Because if it stays in the body, it causes harm in the body. Your wealth now has got some filth and napak, some number 2 excreta. You have to take out that wealth, the 2.5%. When you take out that wealth, then the rest of the wealth will remain safe, it will remain protected. And more important, your heart will remain protected. And it comes in many, many hadith, which we did in the Kitab and Mu'amalat also, that when a person doesn't give his money in zakat, normally that money is not protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Then thieves come, crooks come, the money is destroyed in amazing, amazing ways. Once Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri Sahib, down Barakatum, came to South Africa, so an alim, he was in business, so this alim, his one car went missing, it was hijacked, stolen or whatever. So he told Mufti Sahib, he said, "Mufti Sahib, you know, I've got no doubt about Shariat. But see, I give my zakat every year properly. I make hisab and I give my zakat. But like my car was stolen, and we hear in the hadith that if you're giving your zakat, then nothing can happen to your property. So like I've got a bit of like the thought is coming into my mind." So Mufti Sahib said, "Are you sure you gave your zakat properly?" He said, "No, I'm sure." So Mufti Sahib said, "Okay, bring your books here." So Mufti Sahib went through all of his books for the past 5 years, whatever. Everything was right, 100%. Mufti Sahib said, "Okay, I'll think about it." So then Mufti Sahib went to Durban, and then he came back again. Mufti Sahib said, "Bring your books back here again." Mufti Sahib said, "This year, this zakat you gave, how come you give it 6 months late, a few months late?" He said, "Yeah, this year I gave it a bit late. Normally I give it in a certain time, but this time I gave it late." So Mufti Sahib said, "Oh, you gave your zakat late. Your car is gone. It'll definitely come back. It'll come back late." And about a few months later, the car was found. So these are the promises of Allah and His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah give us that yaqeen and the conviction on the day. That if we give our zakat, Allah Ta'ala will protect us. Dawood Siratab, mentioned once in a bayan, he says that sometimes a calamity is written for a person. Allah Ta'ala has written a certain calamity for a person, it has to hit that person. So what we try to do is now we try to insure our things. So we put our insurance policies, I got my insurance. So now the calamity was supposed to come over you, some money was supposed to be destroyed, so Allah will protect your life. But now because we are putting insurance, so now the crooks come to the house, and we say, we're happy, we've given them everything. But the calamity was supposed to come to you. So now it can't come on your money. So now it comes on your life. Now they rape your wife. Now they do this to your daughters. You say, why are these things happening? Because we are putting the problems upon ourselves. So may Allah give us the reality. يَمْحَقُ اللَّهُ الرِّبَى وَيُرْبِي الصَّدَقَاتِ. Allah will definitely destroy riba and the interest. And Allah will give increase a person in sadaqah. And many, many people get rid of their insurance policies. And it happened to a couple of people I know. The next week, Allah Ta'ala tested the person. A car is destroyed. But whoever holds firm at that moment, then Allah Ta'ala opens up for that people. One of my family persons, he just decided all my insurance policies, he took bet to one sheikh, and he said, no, this is wrong. He got rid of, he's a doctor, a wealthy person, he got rid of all of his insurance policies. And then the following week, I think his car was completely destroyed or it was stolen, whatever, like the day. But he said, no, I'm not going back to these insurance policies. This is the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After that, Allah Ta'ala dunya also, his dunya, Allah Ta'ala opened up for this person. So we just have to have yaqeen and conviction in the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We heard from our elders also one story of one person in Pakistan. He was a very wealthy gun merchant. He used to sell, in India he was living. And that time there was partition in India and Pakistan. But this person had a very good habit. He used to give 2.5% zakat, and besides that 2.5% lillah. Whatever zakat he used to give, besides that 2.5% lillah. So, you know, to give 2.5% it might seem, as it is zakat, you know, if you've got a big factory running, and now 2.5% lillah is not a small thing. But alhamdulillah, he had just by is to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What I'm trying to show, this is the best insurance a person can have, the insurance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that policy. So anyhow, he, when India and Pakistan, there was a partition, he ran away from India, he came to Pakistan, and at that time he came with like nothing, maybe besides some basic necessities, items of his life which he had. And now he comes to Pakistan, a new country, he left everything there behind. It was Allah ta'ala's doing, Allah ta'ala protects and looks after a person. There was one shipment coming from England, was coming to India, so he wrote to them and said, I have moved to Pakistan, so don't send the shipment to India, send it to Pakistan. At that time, Pakistan was a newly formed government, they were looking for weapons, so he came there and he sold it to the government at a very, very good price, and alhamdulillah, he started his whole business again, and Allah Ta'ala looked after him. So through the barakat of the 2.5% charity which he was giving in the part of Allah Ta'ala, extra 2.5%, Allah Ta'ala protected him. So this is one thing which we should learn to give, our zakat we have to give. But the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, over and above that. In the Quran Sharif, Allah ta'ala says, وَأَنْفَقُوا مِمَّا رَزَّقَنَاهُمْ سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً. They spend in the path of Allah which Allah had given them, سِرًّا وَعَلَانِيَةً, quietly and openly. Now only the ulama say, openly means zakat. So quietly means nafal charity. So in Tafsir al-Mazari, it is mentioned that Sanaullah Panipati Rahmatullah says, it shows that the five servants of Allah Ta'ala, they give more nafal charity than faraz charity. That means faraz is 2.5. But sirran is mentioned first, nafal charity. So you see, they give actually more nafal charity than even their faraz charity. So a person must try to get in the habit of giving in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is mentioned about the normal Sahaba radiallahu anhum, whatever money they used to earn, 33% of it they used to give in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to use it for the deen. Many of our kabir, our elders, they also used to give a very big portion of theirs in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, some of them 20%, 10% of whatever money they used to earn. They used to, example, a person earns 10,000 rand. So at the end, in the beginning of the month, or the end of the month, they will take out 1,000 rand, or 500 rand, 5%, 10%, they will make an amount. And so much money they will put in the envelope. Now whenever there is an opportunity to spend in the path of Allah ta'ala, they actually look for opportunities. Because now they've got that money, they want to spend in the path of Allah Ta'ala. Ah, the masjid is being built there. Let me take my share there. So they'll put one brick there. Even one brick you build there in that masjid, as long as you are living in, as long as that masjid is in existence, for hundreds of years, you'll get sawab there. Whoever is performing salah in there. So we must take the opportunity and not look at how much we've got. Even if you're giving 5 rand. If a person is poor, he's giving 5 rand. But in the court of Allah Ta'ala, it comes in one hadith of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one man gives 1 dirham, and it's equal to another man's 100,000 dirhams. So what it means, well, it's actually more than another person's 100,000 dirhams. So Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah Ali gives the exact explanation of this, that one person got 2 dirhams only. And he gives 1 dirham. So he's 1 dirham, another person got 1 million rand, and he's giving 100,000. So he's only giving 10% of his money. The other person is giving 50% of his money. So his 1 dirham is more valuable than the other person's 100,000. Because he's making more mujahada, more sacrifice. He's giving a bigger percentage of his money. So Allah is not looking at amounts, the quantity. But Allah is looking at the quality, the sincerity and ikhlas with which a person is giving his money in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So may Allah give us all the tawfiq. Person make the intention that I must spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That money which Allah has given me, use it in the correct avenues. And in here Allah says, وَلَمْ يُسْرِفُوا وَلَمْ يَقْتُرُوا. They are not stingy also on one side. But on the other side, they don't waste money. And wasting today, unfortunately, in many, many aspects, and especially our nikahs and our weddings, how much of money is wasted millions. One near Nikah in Durban, 9 million a person wasted. So much of money. And how many people can benefit from the day? Hazrat Amir Rahmatullah said, he said, if you want to spend that money, you got 9 million, 5 million rand. He said, take that same money and invest it for your daughter. And every month she'll get a return in that money. He said, actually the best thing to do is, if you got 9, 5 million you want to spend, don't spend it so much money. He said, take that 5 million rand and get 10 poor people. And get them married. And give them 500,000 or 200,000 rand each. How much of dua they'll make for you, your whole life will be made. Their life, they'll come up in life. They'll always make dua, they will always think good of you. And get your child married also. You see, but if you are so stingy, you don't want to give other people the money, okay, keep the money in your family. Use that same money, let your invest that money. Your daughter for the rest of her life should make dua for you. Make dua for you. Make dua for you. Make dua for you. Yeah, you had a very, very big nikah for her. And then what happens? Because there's no barakah and blessings in that nikah. After 3 months, after 6 months, after 1 year, 5 years, the nikah breaks up. Then when the person makes the second nikah, then it's a very small nikah. Then you see there's barakah in that nikah. Why must you experience it in the wrong way? Simple nikahs, use our money in the correct ways, spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Today we know what's happening throughout the world. May Allah protect and save all of us. By giving charity in the path of Allah ta'ala, it is one means of protecting ourselves from the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As many buzrug said in South Africa, there is many black clouds over the people of South Africa because of our gunas and our sins which we are doing. They say one thing which is saving of the azab of Allah ta'ala is the charity which people are giving. It doesn't mean you must give charity now in the two gunas and sins, but it's a warning for us, a lesson for us. May Allah ta'ala protect and save all of us. So one quality of the friends of Allah ta'ala is that they are always spending in the path of Allah ta'ala. They are sending the wealth towards the akhirat. May Allah give myself and all of us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.